Sport on RTE Radio 1.
Morning again, Des.
Morning, Tionia. We're starting in sport with news of the Women's Rugby World Cup draw, and Ireland have been drawn in the same pool as the reigning champions, New Zealand, for the World Cup in England next year. Scott Beaman's side, who are now ranked sixth in the world, beat the New Zealand team, though, in their opening game of the WXV1 tournament in Canada last month, so that'll give them a great boost. The other two sides in Ireland's group are Japan and Spain. Here's the reaction of Irish team co-captain Sam Monaghan.
Really exciting. The group is quite familiar from like the last couple of years of what we've played. We went on tour in Japan a couple of years ago. I've just played Spain last year in WXV, and New Zealand, obviously, we've just beaten, so we can take confidence from that. Yeah, it's like a good group, exciting group, different styles of play. So yeah, Japan have kicked on in the last couple of years. They had a decent WXV tournament, so they're always an exciting and clinical team to play. Spain, that was a hard WXV win last year in the third tier. They've got, you know, some serious pace with some of their sevens players coming back in as well. They're always an exciting team to play, quite passionate team. And then yeah, New Zealand, I'd buzzing to play them. Like, what, I know they'd be definitely up for a rematch as well.
That's Sam Monaghan. And Gaelic Games, inter-county players would be supportive of their managers being contracted and remunerated for their work, according to the Gaelic Players Association CEO Tom Parsons. He was responding to comments by GA President Jarlett Byrne's recent interview on Sunday Sport, where he suggested the association should be open to debating the subject. Now, meanwhile, Gaelic football players all over the country, and fans indeed, will be keenly watching tonight's inter-provincial games at Croke Park, which will trial rule changes proposed by the Football Review Committee. The purpose is to make the game more attractive to watch and to play. Connacht face Leinster at 6 o'clock, followed by the meeting of Ulster and Munster at 8 o'clock. Both games are live on TG Carr, and we're joined now by our correspondent, Marty Morrissey. Morning, Marty.
Good morning, Des.
Changes are necessary, aren't they, to make the game a better watch?
Yeah, I really do think so. I mean, I happened to be at the Derry football semi-final for TV last Saturday night, Newbridge against Marrowfelt, and to be honest with you, it was a hard watch, over 60 minutes. And indeed, I saw the other semi-final in Clare between Innes Diamond and Airogue, and that was also kind of difficult. I think the odd good game we get is wonderful, of the old-style football with the modern criteria involved in it. But overall, I think Gaelic football needs to be reviewed. When you consider, I know there are two different games, the exciting games we get in hurling, but football needs a bit of a renaissance, and this is the opportunity, I feel.
Okay, so there are lots of rule changes. What are the more significant ones?
Well, the more significant ones are the kick out by the goalkeeper, in the sense that the players now will be allowed to stand behind him. This is if you get in the way of the goalkeeper, the kick out is brought to the halfway line, which is a severe punishment. But mainly it is to the delay with the kick out can't happen anymore. There will be a kick out has to be taken. You can leave the players. The old full forward can be inside in the square behind the goalkeeper. Goalkeeper can't receive back passes only on two occasions, from inside their own box or receive it from the opposition half. When they cross the dotted line, which you'll see in Croke Park tonight, then the goalkeeper can receive a back pass. Solo and goal, which comes from rugby and AFL, I think will really be well liked by everybody, including the supporters. And then, of course, 3v3. Both teams must have three players inside each half, so you never have 15 players behind the ball. It is an effort to stop all players going behind the ball and make it a more open, transparent and fast-moving game.
And discipline is something that's also an integral part, which hasn't got a lot of attention so far.
No, it hasn't, Des, and certainly the Football Review Committee have worked very hard on the discipline. I mean, if there's any indiscipline, then the punishment is a free 50 metres up the field. And it's not alone as the players on the field, but indeed identifiable officials and non-playing subs. If their players are giving abuse along the sideline, then there will be a 13-metre free immediately awarded to the opposition. And I think if these rules are applied rigidly, that there will be a new sense of thinking, and a new sense of discipline that we need in the game.
Indeed. And finally, Marty, after this evening's games and tomorrow's games, what happens next?
There's a meeting on October 26th to Central Council, but then the big meeting is November 30th, when we'll have a special Congress where these rules will come forward. Whether or not they're going to be voted in block or whether they can be fragmented. There are seven themes, enhanced rules. So there, by all accounts, the members of the committee that I've been speaking to, they're all interrelated. They're all married together. So whether or not they will be allowed to go forward to Special Congress on 30th of November as one block, or whether they will go thematically, or whether they'll be fragmented, that has to be decided. Okay. But I think we'll all get a sense, Des, tonight and tomorrow night when the two games, all the games, the four games are televised, tonight by TG Carr and by ourselves tomorrow night, it will reveal an awful lot.
Okay, we look forward to it. Thanks, Marty. We're going to switch to soccer now. Earlier, we looked ahead to Sunday's Women's FAI Cup final at Talla between Athlone Town and Shelbourne. But now let's focus on tonight's big action in the Men's Premier Division, where any one of five teams could still take the title. Here's Adrian Eames.
Well, Des, it's been a season of twists and turns, and it would be a brave person who'd make a call on the League of Ireland winners with just three rounds of fixtures remaining. Shelbourne continue to lead the table. Quite how that's the case is perplexing. Damien Duff must be flummoxed as well, because his team has won just one of the last 10 league games, but they could put that to rights with a home win over Waterford at Tulka Park tonight. Like Shelbourne, Derry City have been erratic. They've won just one of their last nine in the league and squandered the opportunity to take a firm grip on the title race by drawing at home with both Bohemians and Sligo Rovers over the course of the last week. Tonight, Derry, the cup finalists, go to Oriel Park to face one of the most successful sides in the history of Irish football, bottom of the table Dundalk. The curtain could come down on Dundalk's 16 season stay in the Premier Division, depending on how results go this evening. All the while, Shamrock Rovers lie lurking in the long grass. Like Derry City, they're on 52 points, two behind Shelbourne. And tonight, Stephen Bradley takes his team to the other outfit in the cup decider, Drogheda United. St Pat's sit in fourth, 4 points behind the leaders. Stephen Kenny's side unbeaten in the league since July and on a charge of six wins in a row. They couldn't possibly, could they? Well, they could. They take on fifth place Galway United, who have an eye on European football. The weekend's final game is on tomorrow night as Sligo Rovers, in with a shot of Europe, face Bohemians at the Showground. So then, it's time for cool heads and calmness. There's a league title to be won. By which team? Who knows?
That's Adrian Eames sitting on that fence. In rugby, the URC action resumes this evening with Ulster hosting Ospreys. Munster play Stormers in South Africa tomorrow afternoon. Connacht will entertain Leinster tomorrow evening. And with racing action today, it's in Dundalk.